Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Law and order, crime investigation, and courtroom prosecution shows have always been very popular on TV. And I'm guessing that right now you can probably think of shows that you've watched or that you've at least heard about that have probably been on the air for decades now at this point and continue to draw pretty regular viewership and devoted following. But what is sometimes even more entertaining than the dramatized fictional stories that play out during primetime TV shows is some of those real-life stories that are portrayed in shows like The People's Court or Judge Judy or Judge Mathis, or it seems like there's a dozen other similar shows that seek to bring real-life courtroom stories to the TV screen. You see real people with real grievances against each other presenting their cases, their arguments before a real-life judge. And then that judge, usually with a mixture of legal wisdom, of common sense, and of some humor, the judge cuts through the arguments that are being made and renders what is usually a just decision for the two sides. This kind of show represents the best that secular systems can hope to do in trying to settle disputes between people. But if you've watched that kind of show before, you know that despite the justice that is rendered, the verdict that is rendered by the judge, the post-trial interviews of the two sides reveal that usually it's only the winners who are happy with the outcome and who believe that justice has been served. And the losers, on the other hand, usually just accept the judgment grudgingly. Usually they're not satisfied, and very often they're angry about what they feel to be an injustice. And that shows us that even at its best, when it is functioning ideally, properly, justly, this secular legal system really cannot bring about a change in the heart of the people who are in those court cases. Well, then in the Bible readings for this Sunday, we're introduced to an alternate pattern for settling disputes, a pattern in which there is no human judge, and that when it is brought to a successful completion, produces blessing and satisfaction for all who are involved. This alternate pattern depends not on the rules of law, not on legal procedure, but on the power of God's reconciling love in the hearts of both the accused and the accuser. Rooted in the conviction that there is forgiveness of sins through Jesus, this system truly has the power to change hearts for good. Through the prophet Ezekiel and through the words of Jesus that we heard in the gospel reading, we are made aware of our responsibility to give a word of correction or a warning to a brother or sister in Christ who has gone astray, who is living in some unrepented sin. We are called by God to help people who have separated themselves from God by their sin and who have also thus separated themselves from fellow believers as well. God calls us to lead them to a renewed relationship with Him and with fellow believers. Now, such action that we're called to by God, that kind of face-to-face meeting or confrontation, requires courage and trust. Because both the one who makes that confrontation and the one who is confronted are accountable to God for their actions and the motives of their hearts. But more wonderfully, both of them are under God's grace and mercy. As the reading from Ezekiel shows, the model for our Christian concern for our brothers and sisters in Christ is that of a village watchman in ancient times. That watchman was a sentry who was posted to watch the village at night. It was his duty to raise the alarm and warn the people of the village about any approaching danger that might come, any threat to the well-being of the village and its inhabitants. Failure to provide proper warning when there was imminent danger meant that the watchman would forfeit his life for his betrayal. We see in this reading that Ezekiel was called by God to watch for and to point out the dangers on the horizon that could lead to Israel's downfall. Failure to give that warning meant that the life of the prophet was forfeit. Now, if we think about that and those pretty serious consequences that God talks about to Ezekiel, we might feel that kind of responsibility is too much for us to bear. We must be aware that we're usually already engaged in such confrontation, though sometimes that comes about in subtle ways in our lives. For example, if we ever gossip about the words or actions of another person, we're actually, in so doing, already passing judgment on their behavior. If we ever reveal secrets about someone else, or if we ever put someone else down, if we ever draw conclusions about the motives or the circumstances that someone else is in without actually facing the one that we are talking about, that is already passing judgment on them in our hearts and perhaps also in our words. And another subtle action that might show that we have already passed judgment on a person is if we begin to separate ourselves from someone whom we feel has wronged us or whom we feel has done something wrong in general. On the outside, we may act as if nothing has happened, as if everything is just all right and fine, while at the same time, inside, we hold on to anger, accusation, a grudge, hard feelings against that person in our hearts. In a similar way, when that happens, we may sometimes let that anger come to the surface with snide remarks or cutting remarks or accusations, because so often we're afraid of open confrontation. Our not really so subtle remarks bring hurt, bring confusion to those around us who hear them. Those remarks show that we have already made a judgment about the brother or sister, and those remarks hinder the mending of an already strained relationship. Think about it in our society today, what a strong emphasis there is on personal privacy, on the right of individuals to do as they please and to not be interfered with by anyone else. Think about what an obstacle that attitude is toward having those loving confrontations as brothers and sisters in Christ. Mind your own business, we are so often told. And although often that is good advice for us, it's also important for us as Christians to really emphasize the interconnectedness that really exists between God's people. Our lives do touch. They are interconnected. Yes, each one of us was baptized as an individual. Each one of us confesses faith on our own. We can't confess faith for or on behalf of somebody else. But as a family of believers, as those who have been redeemed by God, as God's dearly loved children, we don't live and believe alone. Being in Christ through faith in Jesus as our Savior means that we belong to a huge family of believers. And being members of a local church means that we belong to this family of believers that meets in this place together around God's Word. It's truly a family, a fellowship of faith and of caring for each other, of building each other up in our faith in our Savior Jesus. And so therefore, it's a sign of a healthy Christian community that people for whom Jesus has died care for each other enough to speak up to each other when there are problems and tensions in our midst. that kind of loving confrontation affirms the presence of Christ among us. And the most important question that faces us is what lies in our own hearts? In God's pattern that we see played out in the scripture readings before us, we see that both the one who is confronted and the one who confronts are accountable to God. So that makes us pause and stop and think. Think about what Jesus said, that we don't want to be the one who is going around picking specks out of other people's eyes when we ourselves have a giant plank in our own eyes. We also do well to remember that we are not judges. That is, we are not the ones who determine the final verdict on another person's actions, nor are we the ones to prescribe punishment if that action is not repented for. That is God's work. Nor are we the ones who are to decide what is and is not wrong or sinful. Think about the village watchman again. He did have to trust his own perceptions, what he could see and hear, to determine whether there really was any danger approaching and to decide whether or not it was warranted or justified to raise the alarm and wake the people from their sleep to get ready for an imminent attack. We see that Ezekiel was called on to respond to danger only so far as a word from the mouth of the Lord revealed it to him. And so for us as well, in our words and in our warnings to one another, we also let God's own word in the Bible give shape to what we see and hear. God's word informs our motive and our goals as we seek and love to talk to a brother or sister in Christ. We simply cannot rely on our own wisdom or what we think is right or wrong. We must rely on God's word and his guidance. And at the heart of the matter, we always have to come back and recognize our own human frailty and our own helplessness before God. The fact that we also are sinful, that we also need that kind of loving correction and encouragement in God's word from fellow believers. Yes, we know what it is to be unloving, to act selfishly, to be unfaithful in promises that we've made, and to bring hurt to other people. But we're more than just sinners. We're more than just sinners who stand accused under the wrath of God's law for our sins of breaking his law and commands. We also stand and rest in God's grace and forgiveness. So we not only know what it is to be judged and to have been found guilty, but we also know what it is to experience the gracious love and mercy of God. That was really Ezekiel's message. And so we see that after the warning from God that God instructed Ezekiel to give to the Israelites as a messenger, as a watchman from God, then if we look at the next chapter in Ezekiel's prophecy, Ezekiel chapter 34, we see another message from God. He says, I will save my flock. I will make a covenant of peace with them. And even in the words of this reading from Ezekiel chapter 33, we also see God say that he doesn't want to have to send people to hell. He wants people to repent and to turn from their sin and to look to him for forgiveness and so to live, to be saved. The message that God seeks sinners and that God offers them peace and salvation and eternal life, that really is the heart of the gospel. The good news of God's love for us. God's love is known to us through Jesus the Savior, the eternal Son of God himself, whom God sent to live on this earth in a humble manner among sinful human beings who would abuse and mistreat him. Though he himself had no sin, Jesus took on himself all of the accusation and the scorn and condemnation and all of the horrible punishment that we deserve for our sins. And so because of Jesus, What we bring to one another when we approach each other in love is not just accusation, it's not just confrontation or condemnation, it's a gracious offer of the love and forgiveness of our ever-loving God. So our approach to an offending brother or sister in Christ is not judgment or threat, but the recognition of hurt, the pledge of friendship. It's a holy obligation undertaken with the blessing and promise of God that as we speak His word to a brother or sister in Christ, He is there with us. He will work in the heart of that person that we are speaking to by the power of His holy word. And so that relationship between the one who is confronted and the one who confronts built on that promise from God, His forgiveness for Jesus, and of life and salvation as a result. And we see that as a result of that loving confrontation, by God's blessing, personal joy comes about. The prophet Ezekiel, as God's watchman, warned people so that they would turn from their wicked ways and live. That word in Hebrew, turn, is the same word that in other places is translated as repent. It means that we're called to do an about face, to totally turn from a path of wickedness and evil, going away from God's will, and to turn in totally the opposite direction, following the path of love for God, following His will, and showing love for each other as God wants. When that happens, when a person repents, when they turn from their sinful ways and turn to God looking for His forgiveness and rejoicing in His forgiveness, then Jesus says the result is you have regained your brother. There's a true change of heart that has happened as a result of God working in that person's heart through His word. And so we see that kind of loving confrontation between brothers and sisters in Christ is really just an expression of our deep love for one another that we have as a reflection of God's deep love for us through Jesus. And think back to those verses that we heard from Jesus in Matthew chapter 18 about those steps that Jesus lays out for lovingly confronting a fellow believer who is living in unrepented sin. As Jesus says, the ultimate concern is for the protection of that person's reputation, and especially, ultimately, for the restoration of that fallen loved one as they repent of their sin and turn back to God in faith. So we can be confident in this power and this blessing from God as we approach one another in Christian love. But yet as we do so, there are still risks. And maybe those risks and knowledge of those risks are what keeps us so often from carrying out that loving confrontation. Because we might not get any response from the person that we're trying to confront in love. Or perhaps we might encounter heightened tension and additional anger as a result of trying to broach that subject. You may discover that the situation is perhaps even worse than we originally thought, and that repentance and return to faith in God from a human perspective seem to be extremely unlikely. And if that is the result, that will cause great pain and sadness because of the love that we have for that brother or sister. But love in Christ will still compel us to continue to try and reach out to that person, continuing in love to call that person with God's word to repentance. And of course, we also must evaluate the risk that we might be wrong. Think about the situation of the watchman. If he saw us a group of shadows moving out just beyond the torchlight and in the darkness outside the village, and he sounded the alarm, But it turned out, instead of being a band of marauding robbers or of enemies, to be instead simply a flock of sheep grazing out in the night. If the information that we have received or that we have seen from the brother or sister in Christ has been wrong or has been misinterpreted by us, well, now it's an opportunity for us as the one who is confronting to ask for forgiveness and to receive forgiveness from the one that we have confronted, to reaffirm our friendship, our status as brothers and sisters in Christ, who love each other because we have both been loved by our Savior Jesus and by our Heavenly Father. And so in those situations, we see that reconciliation is a wonderful two-way street that brings blessings for both parties involved. As we think about all these things that we hear in these readings from the prophet Ezekiel and in the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, we see God instructing us what a Christ-centered approach is, what it looks like as we reach out in love to a brother or sister in Christ who has sinned. Really, this is one of the most challenging of a Christian's obligations that we have. But it's also one of the most rewarding. There are no losers in these situations, even though we might not always see the outcome that we would like to see. There are only winners, because we know that God promises to work through His Word. When there is reconciliation by His grace, what a joy that is. And even if there is not, we know that God still works through His Word that we have shared. And we pray for that reconciliation to come in the future down the road. We rejoice when we do see that hearts are truly changed, that relationships are restored. People truly come to know and deeply appreciate the grace and forgiveness of their Savior Jesus in their lives. And we can rejoice in that forgiveness together with our brother or sister in Christ. And so in our lives together as fellow believers, as brothers and sisters who have been redeemed by the blood of our Savior Jesus, may we live and grow together in that wonderful grace of our Savior each and every day of our life. And answer this, His call to true and extreme and countercultural love for each other by the grace that He gave.